Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today we will continue listening to yesterday's sermon by Jim Nephew, pastor of the Alpena and Onaway Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here is Pastor Jim.
Number 4, a genuine mature disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple is someone who is fruitful for Christ. You're fruitful for Christ. And our scripture reading from today is where this one is the reference for it. Abide in me and I in you. Stay in me. I've called you not to come close to me. I've called you to come into me. Become one with me. Work with me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him does what? Bears a little fruit. Much fruit. For without me, you can do some things. Nothing. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. What am I going to ask the Father for if I'm in Jesus? Father, you want to make disciples. You've asked me to work with you. So work in me to make disciples. Work in me to bear fruit. Is disciples the only fruit that God talks about? Fruitfulness is a key sign of a true disciple of Jesus. If there is only a little fruit, that disciple may be sickly and needs some encouragement. I need some encouragement. I don't see a lot of fruit. I'll just be honest with you, friends. I'm seeing some fruit, but I'm not seeing the fruit that we see in Acts chapter 2. Could it be that we are all a little bit sick in here? We need to encourage each other to be in Christ, working with Christ, because Christ is going to do fruitful things in our lives and through us. If there is no fruit, then the disciple may be deathly ill spiritually. Or maybe they are not truly a disciple of Jesus. Rather than me worrying whether you are a disciple of Jesus, when I look at my health and go, I'm not seeing the fruit that Jesus says I'm supposed to have. Jesus, I'm either deathly ill here, or I'm not a follower of you, but I feel you calling me, so you've not rejected me, so I must still be a follower of you, but I need you to make me a disciple maker. I need you to make me fruitful. Well, what's the fruit of a disciple of Jesus? I find two of them in scriptures, not just one. So far, we've talked a lot about one. The fruit of a disciple of Jesus is, number one, there's two of them. The fruit is the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Wow. Wouldn't it be wonderful to grow up in a home where mom and dad and grandparents, siblings, aunts and uncles and cousins were like this? Wouldn't it be wonderful growing up in a church where all the people were like this? What if all professed followers of Jesus were really big into this, friends? What if we were big into this? Those of us in this room today, you watching online. Would we experience people wanting to come and be with us to have what we have? I believe we would. So, the fruit of a disciple of Jesus, number one, is the fruits of the Spirit. Not one missing. They're all there. They're all growing and maturing. Number two, the fruit of a disciple of Jesus is another reproducing disciple. Number one, you have the fruits of the Spirit. Number two, you are another reproducing disciple. What is a reproducing disciple? Someone who's making more disciples. Reproduce means you're a disciple and you're making more disciple. Matthew 28, 18 to 30. We know this one by heart. We've heard some of it already. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. Everything I have commanded you, Jesus says, including this command to go and make disciples. If I am connected in fellowship with Jesus by the Holy Spirit, I will have all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit without one missing, and I will be making other disciples. It will be happening, friends. This is one of the specific signs that Jesus gives that we are his disciples. John 15:8 goes along with this. By this my Father is glorified or revealed, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I like the way the Passion Translation words it. It says, when your leaves bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Brothers and sisters, the fact of being with Jesus as his disciple are these. We are not genuine mature disciples of Jesus Christ unless we are actively seeking to grow in the fruits of the Spirit and to make disciples for him. This is what Jesus has told us. Again, fruitfulness does not earn us a way to heaven. Jesus loves you whether you are fruitful or not. By the way, God so loved who? The fruitful ones in the world? The whole world, right? Whether you're fruitful or not, he still loves you. You cannot earn your way by your good works or fruitfulness. That's not how it works. But if Jesus lives inside of you, there will be fruitfulness, friends. Fruitfulness does not save you, but rather fruitfulness is evidence to you that you are saved. It doesn't prove it to Emery over there that I'm saved, but it's an evidence to me that Jesus is working in my life. If there's no fruit, if I don't have the fruit, if I'm having angry outbursts in church or on the job site or with my family, with my wife, what is that evidence to me of? Of a selfish, prideful heart. I don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, save me. Like Peter, I'm sinking down into the mire of my selfishness and pride. Lord, save me. I need that early rain experience. Make me new and alive in you at this very moment. But I need the outpouring of the latter rain to mature me so I don't keep sinking into the mire, but I keep walking with you, Jesus. Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches, stay in me, and together, you and I, we will be fruitful. We are fellow builders with Christ. Sometimes he just needs our permission to let him do the work in and through us. All of Christ's callings are his enablings. You may have just recently heard Christ's call to your heart, friends. Maybe even in just this last half hour. Some of you may have been professing to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus for many years, but may have never experienced leading someone to Christ or making a disciple. Maybe in the past you have experienced this, but you hear Jesus calling you again to go with him and make disciples. Friends, please, wherever you are at, don't be discouraged. Jesus loves you. He's calling to you. Jim, wake up. Let's go make disciples. Come with me. I'm going to teach you. It's on-the-job training. The very best. Jesus is calling us to experience oneness of fellowship with him. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. He's not taken his Holy Spirit from you. Ask him to restore the joy of his salvation in your heart, friends, so that you will be overflowing with his desire to bear much fruit. He knows all of your strengths and weaknesses and has especially chosen you to reach someone for him. Addison, Jesus has chosen you. You are a unique individual, and he's chosen you to reach some person that I could never reach.
She gave me the thumbs up back there.
Number 5, a genuine mature disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who is called to serve, to sacrifice, and to suffer for Christ. When I sacrifice and serve and suffer for Christ, I am entering into Christ's sufferings. Matthew 20, verse 26 to 28. Whoever desires to become great among you, who is he talking to here? His followers, his disciples. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Another one in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, what does that mean? Follow Jesus, right? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, self-denial, and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Luke 14:27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Pastor, so far has been going pretty good, but this particular one is kind of problematic. You're talking about a cross. Well, I can wear one. I'll put one in my ear. Let it hang down there. Maybe I'll put one around my neck. I'll even get a big one. You know, you can do some damage with a big iron cross around your neck. Do we understand what Christ is asking here, friends? He's not asking us to put a cross around our neck. The cross nowadays can get you some prestige. Oh, he's a good person. He's got a cross on his neck. He's got a cross hanging from his rearview mirror in his car. He's a good person. That's not what Jesus is talking about. When Jesus made this statement, the cross was the most shameful sign that you could ever have. On a cross, people died. When you were hung on a cross, a curse rested upon the whole family, not just the person who was crucified. The whole nation that that person represented was cursed. And Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Some of you, possibly, could be asked to be a martyr for Jesus. But I would say probably not many of us will be asked to be a martyr for Jesus. Probably not many of us in here are going to be crucified on a cross, literally. The tendency is to say, I am glad I am not living in Jesus' time back then. I don't have to worry about being nailed to a cross and experience that kind of anguish. I'm glad God hasn't called me to Papua New Guinea, where my wife and I might lose our lives to some weird disease like the rest of the missionaries that have gone to those people. I'm glad God's called someone else to that one. But friends, Jesus has called you to take up your cross and follow him. He may not be calling you to sacrifice your life and end your life today. But he is calling upon you to be a living sacrifice. Jesus doesn't ask much of you. He just asks for all of your life. Because only as you give him all of your life can he give you all of his life. As long as we're holding on to our life, we can't receive what he's trying to give us. Jesus wants us to be disciples with him. My favorite Bible commentator, Ellen G. White, has a statement in a book called Desire of Ages, page 504, paragraph 2. Selfishness and cold formality have well nigh extinguished the fire of love and dispelled the graces that should make fragrant the character. Many who profess his name have lost sight of the fact that Christians are to represent Christ. Unless there is a practical self-sacrifice for the good of others in the family circle, in the neighborhood, in the church, and wherever we may be, then whatever our profession, ouch, we are not Christians. Number 6, a genuine mature disciple of Jesus Christ is one who possesses inner peace and joy. Oh, Pastor, I'm glad you gave me this one after that last one you gave us. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Supernatural peace that passes understanding, friends. Joy is not dependent on the ease of life, but rather on a connection with Christ. The disciples were brought before the council for preaching Jesus to the people, and Gamaliel counseled the council to leave them alone. How do we know if they are teaching truth or not? If they're from God, you might find yourself fighting against God. And so the council says, let's read it here. Acts chapter 5, 40 and 42. And they agreed with him, Gamaliel, the teacher there. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, well, that's fun, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Wow. They'd just been beaten. This is not one of them. Out of here. Don't do that again. This was a serious beating, friends. And yet they go out rejoicing. Praise the Lord that somebody saw the character of Jesus in us. We're preaching in Jesus' name. We are workers together with Jesus, and somebody recognized it. Verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, well, not just in the church here, but every house in Onaway, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Total commitment to Jesus Christ. The commitment to serve and to suffer, and if need be, to die for him, turns out to be the only path to lasting and true joy and peace. If my peace is based on anything else, I'm living in fear. Somebody's going to steal my peace and my joy. But if my relationship with Jesus, doing what Jesus is doing, walking with him, maybe even experiencing his suffering, if that is my joy and my peace, no one can steal that from me. We live in a chaotic world, a chaotic time, but if we are working in and with the King of the universe, friends, what else is there to worry about? Number 7. Genuine, mature disciples of Jesus Christ. A genuine, mature disciple is one who possesses spiritual power and spiritual authority. Finally, Pastor, you got to the one I've been looking for. I want authority. I want power. That's what I came to church for. Have you read the New Testament? Have you seen the kind of authority, the kind of power that those followers of Jesus had? Did they command armies? Did they force everybody to do what they wanted them to do? No, friends. There's two things we must remember about spiritual power and spiritual authority. Number one, this power and authority, they are completely 100% derived. That means I don't just naturally have it. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from how good I look or how I dress or anything else. It doesn't even come from how good I can talk. Moses, you remember, did he need spiritual power and authority? God called him to walk with him to set probably over 1 million people, 1 million slaves free. Friends, that's not a light thing for a country to give up. He needed spiritual power and authority. He questioned whether he could speak properly. Did he still have spiritual power and authority? Yeah. God says, I want to deliver those people. Moses, I want you to come and work with me. We're going to do this. We're going to work together. Oh, but Lord, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not very good. I can't speak very good. It's okay. I want you to work with me. By the way, how did it go when Moses went down and told Pharaoh, let the people go? Pharaoh says, no, I don't even know your God. No, I'm not going to let you go free. In fact, I'm going to make things even worse for these slaves. And the slaves turned against him. The very people that God was trying to set free, who Moses was there trying to set free because he was working with God, turned against Moses. Probably against God too. So this power, friends, does not come from my natural ability, my great stature, my good looks, my beautiful voice. None of these I seem to possess today. They are all derived from God. They all come from Him. Number two, it is instead the power of the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in people such that they are under His influence, His direction, His power. And because of this, when such Christians do something for God, it produces fruit because they have spiritual power and spiritual authority. When the majority of the people of God have this kind of spiritual power and spiritual authority, the world will be turned upside down one last time, friends, and we will go home. I long for this myself, and I long for it for you, my brothers and sisters. I long for it for God's glory and for the harvest. Number eight, last one. A genuine mature disciple of Christ is someone who lives for the supreme purpose, this is the only reason they exist, of glorifying God in 100% of their lives. Really, Pastor, 100%? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do how much? All. Would that be 100%? Do all to what? The glory of God. For a true, mature disciple of Christ, there's only one test for what we think about, because what's in the heart, where does it usually show up? Coming out of my mouth, right? For what I think and what I say and do. Will this glorify God? They live their lives this way because Jesus is living in their hearts. Oh, I got to set Dale straight. He's going off the beams. Whatever it's going to take, I've got a baseball bat, happens to be close by, I'm going to use it. I think this is the time. Will this glorify God? Lord, before I started having those thoughts, before I even was looking for the baseball bat, next time, would you use that on me? The Lord says, no, that's not who I am. I am meek and lowly in heart. Well, in summary, I put all these eight into a sentence here. Well, I don't know if it's a sentence. Hopefully there's no English majors in here because I'm terrible at that. But anyway, a genuine mature disciple is someone who is called by Christ to be with and in Christ, is fruitful in the Spirit, making other disciples, is one who serves, sacrifices, and suffers for Christ, yet possesses inner peace and joy, has spiritual power and spiritual authority, and lives for the purpose of glorifying God 100% of his or her life. Can you see, friends, that the appreciation for the journey that Jesus desires to take us on has dropped significantly since his first century church? Maybe we have lost the understanding and appreciation of this. Could a return to this lead to the final restoration of God's final work on this planet? Converts are born. Did you have any choice over being born? Disciples must be made. Being a disciple is a choice that I make. I didn't have any choice in the rebirth process. It came to me. I can reject it and decide to die as a baby, but if I accept it, now I have a choice. But God says, I'm going to let you work with me to be a disciple. Converts are born. Disciples must be made. When you look at this description of a genuine, mature disciple of Christ, read it again, a genuine, mature disciple of Christ, the only kind that Matthew 28, 18 to 20 calls us to make, is not merely a convert, but is someone who is first born of the Spirit and then trained and equipped to walk daily with Christ, to continue in his Spirit and do Christ's work. Where are you, friends? This is between you and God. This is God calling you to walk with him. Where are you at in this journey? Maybe you're moving forward in this work. You've accepted it and you're just on the journey. Praise the Lord, friends. Keep it up. Keep encouraging those around you by keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're far from this, but you feel that God is calling you to do this today. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Friends, wherever you're at, I invite you to join me in coming to Jesus today and accept or again accept his covenant to work in, with, and through you to accomplish this work of disciple making. Whatever sacrifice Jesus asks you to make, you will be glad you did. Whether it's your life or simply your version of a mirror that got some water spots on it, that you feel possessive about. Maybe it's the fact that somebody tracks some mud on the carpet back here. That really upsets me. It took a lot of work to put that carpet in and keep it clean. What kind of feelings do you have towards that person? Maybe there was a mess on the bathroom floor where someone had an accident. What kind of feelings came up in your heart? Some of you know this is personal. Friends, I'm not seeing the evidence that I'm the disciple that Jesus is calling here. So I'm answering his call this morning. He wants me to be his disciple. He wants me to walk with him. He wants to make me mature by the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that I will experience his goodness, all of it, his mercy, his long-suffering, his loving kindness. And as I partake of it, he wants to work in and through me to draw others to him. This is the work of making disciples. Friends, I need you to disciple me. I need you to adult me. Jesus says to submit to one another. Do you know what that's talking about? That doesn't mean whatever you tell me I have to do. It means we are working together. I'm submissive to you. If you see some fault in me and things, you come to me in the love of Jesus to restore me. And I'm doing this to you. And we just have this great relationship. Jeannie and I were talking about this on the way up today, about each other, our relationship together, being submissive to one another, finding out our strengths and our weaknesses. It was a wonderful time. I can't wait to get her alone on the way home and talk some more about this. Friends, God has so much to teach me through my wife. He's got a oneness that I just never even knew was possible. But he wants to do that with us. He wants to instruct you and I through Case and Addison. And yes, Dylan and Isaac, and even us old people. Will we let him do it today, friends? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so patient, so merciful, so loving, so self-sacrificing, so kind. Lord, you offer to us all of your goodness. You ask us to partake of it so that it comes in and grows in us and we become your right doing. Lord, this is just unfathomable that you love us this much. May we answer your call to come and work with you, to let all of the fruits of the Spirit grow in us so that we can go out and make disciples of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Jim Nephew, pastor of the Alpena and Onaway Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed the sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You'll find the Alpena Church at 4029 US 23 in Alpena, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Or you may visit the Onaway Church at 21440 M68 in Onaway, and their church service begins at 11:40 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.